It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I hit the button. I had to hit it twice. Okay, now it's working. We've once again adjusted the volume.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping. I really think that game, like, it's possible the other one wasn't even... Like, I know there were volume issues, but I think it might have just been the cutting out issues. I think it might have been because the gain got bumped. But now the volume is theoretically closer.
Okay.
Mine is still higher than yours, so we'll see how that plays out.
All but right.
Jazz at least said, I was too loud, you were too quiet last time. Somebody else, however, I believe Coffee, said it was great. So, one of them is a liar.
Well, I thought also that... I didn't think that it wasn't balanced. You were louder.
Okay.
But I didn't think I was so
Rorschach
bright.
The Rorschach tests that happened on the screen here backed that up
okay.
last time.
It didn't seem to me that I was so quiet you couldn't hear me or anything like that. But for someone who would rather our voices be of a closer or equal
yeah.
volume, it probably was annoying. Yeah.
This time the little Rorschach tests are closer.
About the same.
I still look a little bit higher. But I've never been sure about that. But so I think we're getting closer.
Okay.
So everybody let us know. Somebody let us know. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world whose Latin motto roughly translates to through apathy, consistency. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 260.
So here we are, 260.
Yep.
That's a lot of consistency. Less apathy than I expected. Like, there was going to be more apathy, but I couldn't really be bothered.
Okay.
You're such an easy target.
I know.
Check this out. These just came from Amazon. They are brand new.
Toenail clippers.
Like, industrial grade ones. Like, these will, like, clip rebar.
Why would you need... toenail clippers that'll clip rebar.
My toenails.
You have, that's your superpower? You have
yeah.
adamantium toenails.
I'm not sure it's my superpower. I think it might be like my Persian flaw, as it were. I've got all the other superpowers, but toenails that could choke a horse. Well, and the problem is, as you will recall, when somebody cleaned our house...
Mm-hmm.
Certain things have not yet been located.
Oh, even now, huh?
Yes, even now. And one of those things is the little box that had all the various clippers and nail-related things in it for both pets and humans. So we've been making do with, like, travel kits and other crap we found, but not so good. So I ordered these for serious ones, and then I ordered this, which is just one of those cases that has... everything you need, plus several other things I don't know, and we're pretty sure this is a cocaine spoon.
No, that's not.
It kind of looks like a cocaine spoon.
I have no idea what it is, but I don't know what a cocaine spoon is either. But
it's a little tiny spoon, so you can scoop up cocaine and then sniff it.
Well, that looks like a little tiny spoon,
right?
But it's probably some cuticle thing.
I assume anything in here that I don't recognize is a cuticle thing, except I'm pretty sure that is for cracking open, like getting... crab meat out of the shell. So it's a really comprehensive kit, is what I'm saying.
That almost looks like a scalpel or something right here.
That one? Yeah, that one scares me. I don't know what's going on with that.
It's a cool-looking thing.
Oh, I was like, why do we have two identical? But that one has this.
What is that?
I don't know. It's like we've got nail clippers, and then we've got nail clippers with a grappling hook. So that...
maybe none of these things are what they appear to be. Like, at the airport, they look, oh, this is like a grooming set, but really you can pick locks and
I feel like I have to take this out in the woods and have nothing but this and, like, see how long I survive. I come back just muddy and scratched up, and I'm like, I figured out what the little tiny spoon was for. What was it? I can't tell you. You have to go and experience it yourself. For those of you just joining us,
this is what usually happens.
This is as good as it's going to get, though, so be prepared for that. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, good, kind, wonderful people, write into that little email address with notes, questions, topics, comments, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its enslaved servants, which I know you're like, why don't you just say slaves? Well, two reasons. One, the word slaves does not have the word servants involved, and the word slaves does not start with an E. So shut up and let me get my business done. Anyway, we, its enslaved servants, draw the cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
No, I just show up here at the house.
He really does.
I walk in the door, we barely say hello to each other. He presses record, we record it, and then we don't edit it.
Heard the phrase, it's the least you could do. This is the least we can do.
And we don't, some people don't understand this, so it probably bears mentioning. We don't know what the questions are going to be beforehand.
No.
We just as Tony said, we draw them at random.
Because of magic.
I don't know anything that Tony's going to say before I get here, and he doesn't know what I'm
going to
say.
I don't know what I'm going to say.
And we don't edit it. Either. We just put it right out. It could be live for all intents and purposes because we don't do anything to edit it or anything.
Except we'd have to do things to make it live, and we don't do things. So, yep. Which I feel... I want to say I feel proud, but I feel like what actually it means is other podcasters should feel ashamed because we do so little. And we've got 260 weeks without missing one.
Yeah.
Like, if we can do it, I think actual dead people could do it. Except, and so people who actually do podcasts, like, they have no excuse.
Except some of those people are famous and have a lot of other things to do.
Yeah, right. We're famous.
Okay.
I've heard of you. You don't want to know what I've heard, it's pretty bad.
That's all right.
So how was your week?
Good, getting a lot of work done. I'm mostly sort of dreading the soon release of Batman vs. Superman, though.
Yeah.
I'm really not looking forward to it.
Other people are concerned about the looming actual possibility of a Trump presidency, but you're more Dawn of Justice could be bad.
Well, I mean, there are reasons that I'm not as worried about that as other people are. I mean, but we don't have to get into that because I know you don't.
And there are reasons why he's more worried about Dawn of Justice than other people are. But I think that's a lie. I think everybody... Well, okay, everybody's worried about Dawn of Justice except people in my demographic, which is, I don't give a fuck, I'm not seeing it anyway.
Well, it's kind of interesting...
I'm about to sneeze, folks, be prepared.
It's kind of interesting
that... That was awful.
I was thinking about this just the other day, when did Iron Man come out, the first Iron Man, do you know? I mean, it's
like 2003 or something, it's a long-ass time ago.
Really?
Like, no, not really, I have no idea.
I mean,
but that's my guess.
I could believe it's been 10 years, probably.
I don't know.
Maybe not that long.
It was last week.
I saw it. And the Marvel Cinematic Universe has, what, like a dozen films in it now or so?
Probably. Maybe not quite that many. 8 or 9 at least.
And the Warner Brothers Cinematic Universe, so far, just has one. I mean, Man of Steel...
Barely has one.
Man of Steel is it.
And nobody liked it.
Well, I mean... Weirdly, if you look at like aggregate sites and stuff, it did okay, especially compared up against a lot of Marvel films. But it wasn't received very well by critics and a lot of
it was not DC the same fans. Impact as when Iron Man came out.
No, exactly. That's right. So as far as DC creating their own little cinematic universe, they're about a decade and 12 films behind, and what's interesting about what
you see these? These are speed holes. They make the clippers go faster.
what's interesting about what DC is doing is, it's kind of like what Marvel did. They're going to have, you know, there's going to be origin movies for just about everybody, and then they're going to combine Woo-hoo. Them into team up or whatever.
I can't tell you how much I love a good origin movie.
But the one character that is outside of that formula is Batman. He's being introduced as someone who's been active for like 20 years already. And I thought, that's really strange. Everyone else is brand new, but Batman is going to be introduced as someone who's been around for a long time.
It's not strange, and I'll tell you why.
Well, I think I know why. But you tell me what you think. No, you tell me what you think. You tell me what you think.
Well, I'll tell you what I think, but first I have what I think is the good explanation, the good example of why. Because it's happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe too, I believe, and it's going to be when Spider-Man comes in. I don't believe Spider-Man's going to get an origin story in the MCU, but it is confirmed that he's going to be in the MCU. And I think it's the same reason. Even Warner Brothers and Disney can look and be like, holy shit, there have been a lot of movies about that guy. He has had several origin stories in the last few years. Let's not be assholes.
Well, that means they can just skip the origin story. It doesn't explain why he has to be older than everybody else.
No. That's just because Ben Affleck's not looking like he used to.
I think I know why they're
doing it. All right, lay it on me.
Because if Batman's already been around for 20 years, you can... Maybe I should explain it this way. One of the first films that's going to be coming out, you know, it's actually the third film in the series, is Suicide Squad. It's going to have the Joker in it, and it's going to have Harley Quinn in it.
Yep.
How can you have them... Basically, I think the reason they're having Batman as an established hero is because now you can use all the villains. You don't have to introduce them. You can have all the Robins that they have in the comic books. You can have Nightwing.
True.
You can have Oracle. You can have all the Batgirls. That's the thing, that unlike any of the other DC characters, Batman comes with
a huge rogues gallery, yeah, and sidekick gallery.
And entourage. That's right. He comes with both of these things. And if you say, well, he's already been around for 20 years, you can have all those people just introduced into the film.
It does call into question, though, why the Joker looks like he's 16.
No, I get that, but...
So, Suicide Squad is officially part of the continuity.
As far as I know.
I think you're right. I think I saw it on the thing. It just feels different.
And
but.
Even though this theory doesn't explain... I think Captain Boomerang, who I think is a Flash... a bad guy. It doesn't really explain why he's in there. But most of the bad guys in Suicide Squad are Batman, yeah, Rogues Gallery, and it makes sense that you could have Suicide Squad so early in the series if Batman's been around for a long time and his Rogues Gallery's been around for a long time. So I think
that makes sense. I'm not sure I'm going to give them enough credit to say that's what's happening.
Well, but another
it does make sense.
Another thing is, not only can you have Nightwing and movies about Nightwing, which they know the fans want, but you don't have to go through that awkward period of having Batman teamed up with a 13-year-old boy for a period of time before you have other Robins and Nightwing. See what I'm saying? You've avoided that whole awkward period of Batman working with children, but you can still have these movies about Batgirl and Nightwing and all this other stuff. I think that's probably why they made that decision. Plus, it was easy to do. All you have to do is grab Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns and just sort of copy that.
Which is exactly what they're doing.
So it was just an easy solution to a sticky problem. And I've heard there are people who have seen the film already, you know, people are reviewing it and stuff, and I've heard that Ben Affleck's Batman is really great, but I don't know.
I'm sure he's fine. I don't think the movie will be fine.
I don't think so either. I don't think I'm going to like any aspect of it at all. I mean, I might appreciate what Ben Affleck's doing. I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't really deserve. I've seen him in a lot of things where he did a great job.
It's an image online somewhere of what's her name that's playing Wonder Woman?
Gal Gadot.
In Wonder Woman stuff, I think. And a larger redheaded woman standing next to her. And a certain contingent of people is really hoping it's what's her name? The old friend, Etta.
Oh, Etta Candy.
Yeah. And I understand the desire for that. But I'm like, there's no way they're doing that. First off. No, only first off, they're not going to be cool enough to do that. Second off, if somehow, you know, somebody made a wish on a magic fortune-telling machine or something, and it did happen, they'll fuck it up. I don't even know exactly how, but it'll basically be like every Rebel Wilson movie out there. Like, it'll be, isn't she hilarious because she's fat? Because, yeah. No, a friend of mine was like, I saw that, oh my god, if it was that a candy. I was like, first of all, no, won't be. Second of all, if it was, you would hate it. So, but it would be cool if it didn't suck, which it would, which it won't happen.
Well, you know, like I said, we're going to see it, probably not on the night it's out. And I know it's going to be disappointing. Man of Steel was disappointing to me. And it's sad because now, finally, DC's getting its act. I know I've said this a thousand times. DC's finally getting its act together and having movies, and I don't like them.
Nope.
I just
focus on the TV shows.
Huge disappointment. The TV shows are actually pretty good.
Are you watching Legends of Tomorrow?
Yes. I'm not watching it right now because I'm podcasting, but I can always watch it the next day online. So
I'm watching it in my mind. I'm not watching it, but I'm still recording it. I really should fix that.
I think it's all right. I mean, you know, it's. TV superhero shows have their problems, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I just don't think I'd manage it on my own. Because I'm bad at that. I mean, I finally deleted all the Defiance episodes.
I don't think it's coming back either.
No, it's done. But I'm like, I just never got around to it. Because when I'm watching it by myself, the impetus isn't there. We are watching Magicians. We're about 3 episodes in. And I actually was going to give up on it after the pilot, eventually. It was more of an inertia thing. We were having complications recording it with other stuff, and I felt like Trish wasn't really into it, the pilot. And I thought it was going to make complications for me. So I was like, we'll just skip it. But she's like, no, we were just waiting, because she didn't want to watch it while we were really sick, because we weren't sort of in our right minds. So I agreed to watch it. I'm not going to say I like it yet. I am glad I didn't stop watching it. It is such an odd mix of hewing really closely to the books in places, in other places screwing with it a lot, and in other places creating characters and plot lines out of whole cloth that didn't exist. It's just such this odd mix. I'm kind of hoping it's going to veer further and further away from the books, because the further it's away from that, the less I compare it. And it is tricky because every character in the show is kind of an asshole right now, but that's pretty much how the book started. So I'm having faith.
Well, we're transitioning from a lot of the fall shows to spring shows. House of Cards is going to be on Netflix real soon.
Yeah,
if anyone's watching that.
Are you watching
that? Yeah, we watch it.
We gave up after season 2. We didn't, and it wasn't the plan right then. But season 3 came out, and we just never bothered.
Well, we weren't. I don't think we were that impressed with the first few episodes when it started, and we didn't watch it. And then we heard some good things about it, and we really wanted to watch for
Kate Mara, Robin Wright.
Robin Wright, Ben, yeah.
That's amazing.
Because
her performance in that is absolutely amazing.
And I think we'd heard that, and you didn't see as much of that in the first few couple episodes.
So except that's what did it for us in the pilot. Well, we talked about this time. In the pilot, she says lines that no one else could say and not have us laugh at her.
She did a good
job. She has lines that on paper are terrible lines, and she sells them beautifully.
She did a good job in the pilot, but
took a while to have anything really much to do.
Well, and we're not really much for political. I mean, you know, we've never watched The West Wing. We tried to watch a couple episodes and decided we were going to hate it. But we like her anyway, so we thought, you know what, let's give it another shot just to see how she does. And really, everybody did a good job. The
performances were amazing. It was very compelling.
It's still not. I don't find the political angle of it that interesting or compelling, and sometimes it's really oversimplified as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, it is.
But the characters and the relationships, which are the two things that you like the most, are very interesting and fun to watch.
It did, by the end of the second season, it did just get a little too much of, oh, everyone's terrible. And I think that's what it is. I'm like the show's not bad, but the thought of going back and just watching everyone do awful things to everyone, and every once in a while somebody has a thought to do something good and they're immediately like murdered or some shit. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I need to have something to hope
for. That's kind of a thing, isn't it? That kind of...
I mean, I can't...
There are a lot of shows we watch where we go, yep, that person's going to die. I mean, you just know.
What was it? There was some trailer Trish showed me, and it was something along... I think it was a post-apocalyptic kind of vibe or whatever, and it was that same sort of shit, and I'm like, no, I told you I don't want to watch The Walking Dead. Because it's the same shit. It's like, look what terrible things all humans apparently are capable of when the shit hits the fan. And if we ever show you one that's not capable of it, they'll die.
Yep.
Real soon.
Or if anyone is hopeful in a little bit, they're going to get killed. Something like, bad's going to happen.
Those shows are like, it's like an entire cast of people that are 2 days from retirement and then other people with guns. Like, that's just... Yeah. You're either...
Is that a thing? Is that like a thing that's like growing in popularity? These shows that are just heartbreak after heart. Like, is that, or do people get off on watching that kind of thing?
I think so. And here's my theory, and it's based on nothing but my massive, massive intellect. What did you think I was going to say? My theory is that for a lot of people who like that stuff, it's an escapist outlet to a degree. Because for most people, I think myself included, there is a certain amount of pressure to be a civilized human being. It's a background pressure, but, you know, you're nice to people, you're courteous. When somebody does something that annoys you, you don't strangle them, you know, shit like that. We're a fucking society here, people. And we know that. We're fine. We're not monsters. But it can be... honestly, I think it's similar to me watching the shitty horror movies. It's the same thing. The realistic ones, because that to me is too... I have too much, I guess, empathy or whatever. But just the weird, trashy shit. I think, in my case, the escapism isn't pretending I'm involved in that shit. It's pretending I'm making that movie. My escapism is imagining being the creator of a trashy horror movie. But I think that's the thing. It's like, for a little while, you're like... Oh, I am that guy. I am the guy who's selling meth and, you know, that kind of shit. I think that's what's going on, but I don't actually know.
But what psychological... How is it cathartic? How is it...
It's escapist to a degree. Well, and it's... I don't know. I think it's the same thing that people sit at work and fantasize about quitting their job. I think it tags that same thing. Wouldn't it be nice if I could just...
Wouldn't it be nice if all the people around me who act like zombies all the time were zombies?
Yes.
Because then I could just shoot them all in the head.
And there's frequently the... I mean, you constantly see our hero gets to do something horrible because we've gone to great lengths to show that they deserve it. Mm-hmm. Like, the bad guy deserves it. But nowadays we do this postmodern bullshit where we're like, no, you know, bad things happen to good people and... You know, that kind of... Sometimes the bad guy wins. And I think we just do that because we think we're all super smart. We're like, oh, this is intelligent. This is realism. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to say it's not. I'm just going to say I don't want to watch that. Like, I don't want to live in your fantasy or I want to keep living in mine. But either way, this is where I am.
So there's a little bit of cynicism involved.
Like, I think there's a great deal of cynicism involved. But you can almost make the step to, you know what? When my life bugs me... At least I'm not getting murdered by drug dealers.
Okay, but what's comforting about indulging extreme cynicism? That seems like that would just make you more depressed and more...
Oh, I think it does in a lot of cases.
But. So people are watching things that make them depressed, and they're doing that on purpose?
But they're not aware that that's the reaction they're having.
Well, it doesn't matter if they're aware of it or not. You'd think some part of their automatic psychology would be like, don't do that. That doesn't feel good. It's like moving your hand away from a hot stove. You know, you don't think about taking your hand away. It's just a reflex.
People do shit that makes them sad all the time.
On purpose.
People that makes them sad. Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't say, this thing's going to make me sad. I'm going to do it.
Mm.
They do something, and that thing makes them sad, and they never put that together in their head. They're like, no, this is awesome.
What do you think it is? It's like, is there some kind of self-loathing there? Like, this is a way of...
I always look at it as just a lack of self-awareness.
But I mean, is it...
Because when I tell people, I'm like, I don't watch that show. They're like, why not? I'm like, it makes me sad. They're like, yeah. They're like, "Oh, but it's so interesting." And I'm like,
"Well, it's maybe it's like you say. Maybe they see themselves in certain characters or situations. I mean, they're extreme situations, but maybe they."
Well, and there's a taboo issue. It's a vicarious breaking of taboos. But I don't know. I mean, here's the problem. You need to ask somebody who watches that shit.
Well, it sounds like it just might be complicated anyway. I mean, like...
No.
Yeah. Like, for everybody, it's a little something different.
Probably. It's like humans are special, unique snowflakes or something.
Except...
We can't use that anymore. They found identical snowflakes in 1960.
Except that it's... If that were the case, if it was an entirely... a sort of a case-by-case thing, how do you then explain the trend of these things being so popular? I mean, it seems like there's some kind of cultural chord that's being struck there.
I would agree.
But we don't know what it is.
No, because we don't watch them.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Well, why don't you talk about your week then?
All right. Still playing Fallout 4.
Speculating about things we don't know.
Oh, my God. I'm at the point now where Fallout 4 is just my life, and so I'm, like, complaining about my life in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you tell me your friend has been kidnapped, and I ask, by whom? First of all, the correct response is not, they said they'd come back in a few days for the ransom, but I can't afford that. That does not answer my question.
No.
Secondly, when I finally get you to tell me where, and I say, I'll go deal with it, before I leave... You might want to mention that the people who kidnapped your friend were, in fact, super mutants. Couple of reasons for that. Minor one, there's some tactical changes I do, sure, if it's a super mutant. Sure. The more major one is, I don't know that I'd bother, because I'm pretty sure if super mutants captured your friend, they've already eaten your friend.
which isn't the case in the game, but...
No, which is annoying.
That would make more sense.
But, like, I love that the super mutants try and intimidate. Which kind of works. They're a little scary. But, like, at this point, it's just bad guys for me. So, like, I'm crawling around this office building, and it's really kind of a maze. And one of them, they can hear me and stuff, and they're like, I'm coming to find you. And I'm like, I wish you would, so that I can kill you and move on. Because, you know, I just see on the compass, and so I see the little red dot. And I'm like, I know they're to the left and up from here, but I don't know how many floors up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if it's just a ramp or some shit. And when they eventually are like, oh, it must have just been hearing things. And then they stop, and then the dot goes away. God damn it. So I'm just seriously sneaking around, and any time they stop paying attention, I take my gun and I shoot it into the wall. So that they'll start paying attention again. I'm like, we need to get together so I can kill you so I can move on with this game. And I have a thing for that. This is a thing that has happened in my play style. I have several weapons I use. It's based off of a couple things. I have a short-range pistol. I have another short-range pistol that is silent. And I use that a lot. That's fun. And then I have, like, a medium-range weapon. I have some longer-range energy weapons and stuff. And I have a missile launcher named Big Bertha that I take out when I'm in a mood. But I also have a weapon that I use when I am done with their shit. Remember, I'm playing the game on very easy. I'm level 51. Not too many things kill me. If things kill me, it's usually something that explodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when I am tired of this shit, I stop sneaking, if I was sneaking, I get out of cover wherever I was, and I pull out a little legendary weapon I have called the Never-Ending Shotgun. It is not my most powerful weapon. It's good. It's not the best. It's a shotgun. Its particular legendary ability is that all your ammo goes in it. So, like, normally you have, like, the gun holds 12, and you've got, like, 400. And so you have the little thing on the screen that says you have 12 shots, and you have 400 remaining. And as you shoot, the 12 goes down, and then eventually you have to reload, and then it says you have 12, and you have 386 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't, math is hard. This one says you have 660 shots in the gun and nothing in reserve. And so I just go, and I seriously just walk up to people, and they're attacking me, and I'm like, whatever, boom, boom. And enough shotgun shells, they eventually fall down.
Yeah, probably doesn't take that many.
Yes, so that's my I am sick of your shit attack plan, is I'm like, you know what, I'm done. Let's just get up, I'm going to shoot you in the face with a shotgun until you stop talking at me. So, I've been doing that. But yeah, I'm up to like 23 or so settlements. They're doing really well. I have gobs of money now. Because I just put so many stores in places. Mm-hmm. So basically, anytime I visit a settlement, I go to the workshop, and I've got at least a couple hundred caps sitting there. So it's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Curie loves me, so now I've switched over to Nick.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how you do it. You make them fall in love with you, and then you switch to somebody else. I feel like Nick flirted with me a little bit. There's not a romance with him, but he was a little too into how I look in power armor. He made some comments. It was a little weird. I'm heavy into my railroad stuff right now.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, here's a weird one for you. Glory. Mm-hmm. Remember Glory?
Yes.
Didn't know she was a synth.
Oh.
Straight up, had no idea. I'm walking around the HQ, and somebody's like, yeah, you ever seen a synth on its own like that, like Glory? I'm like, what? So I go over and talk to Glory. Found out she's a synth. Also found out what a heavy is, and that I am one, and that she is also one.
Mm-hmm.
Had not known that either. Yeah.
How did
I'm learning all sorts
of things. I think they made that clear when you first meet the railroad.
I was drinking heavily during that time, because I had lost my child and husband.
Well, but you've met Curie. And
yeah, I met Curie.
Curie is...
I did Curie's personal quest.
Okay, so you also know that in Curie's previous life, when she was a different person...
Yeah.
She was involved with...
See, and that whole scene, I read that as she was her caretaker, which traditionally is a human.
Oh, I see.
And, yeah, I thought it was the caretaker for this person, so I had no... Yeah.
You were involved.
Yeah. Again, serious trauma in my life. But that's okay, because I'm all in love with two people. Which apparently...
No, Kate.
After my husband... not yet. I feel like they're not going to get along.
Well, they will, as long as she doesn't do too many nice things and she picks a lot of locks.
I pick a lot of locks, but I do a lot of nice things.
Yeah,
I'm a very nice person.
You can't do too many nice things.
You
gotta take Kate along with you when you don't think you're gonna be talking to many people.
Yeah,
you're just gonna be looting things and.
Or when I'm doing brotherhood shit. So I've seen a bunch of movies because I watch a lot of movies now. Most of them aren't worth mentioning. Saw Frank and Hooker. I recommend that, but that's. Beside the point. I did see one, though, that I think is actually worth mentioning. Saw a movie called Forsaken. It's a recent movie. It might still be in some theaters. It is a Western starring Kiefer Sutherland and Donald Sutherland playing father and son.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite, you know.
Right.
It also has Demi Moore in the female lead role. It is brilliantly shot. It is quite well acted, and it's super mediocre. It is the most cliched prodigal son storyline ever. Like, if it weren't for the occasional F-bombs and a lot more violence, this could straight up be a Hallmark Channel film. I was really kind of shocked. I'm like, why would they do... Well, okay, why would Kiefer Sutherland and Demi Moore do it? Donald Sutherland, bless his heart, will play anything now. He's the older, white Samuel L. Jackson. But the others, I just don't know what the hell happened. And especially, just after coming off seeing Kiefer Sutherland do such an amazing job in Zoolander 2 as himself. GammaCon was this weekend.
Oh, yeah. So, did you go on Friday night?
No. I was in a mood Friday night. I went Saturday for about 30 minutes.
Oh.
It was odd, but I had a bit of an epiphany. Normally, excuse me, normally I find two or three games I want to play and I sign up for those, and largely I just show up for that. I hang out a little bit, but mostly I show up to play the games. And I think I get that now. Because this time I didn't. There were none. Because most everything... It was built in such a way that I couldn't really see the details of the games. And there were no obvious ones being run at times I liked by people I liked.
Mm.
Normally, Tasha Robinson, who's a freelance writer, used to be for the AV Club, used to live in Iowa City. She and her husband come back for GammaCon, and they're friends with some friends of mine. And I have loved her for years from her writing and stuff. So I was really psyched. And so for quite a few years, that was my anchor, basically. I'm like, what Tasha's going to run, I'll play that, and then we'll sort of build around. But she didn't run anything this year. So I showed up on Saturday, and I realized I was suffering from some sort of social anxiety. Mm-hmm. And what it appears to be is everyone else looks like they know what they're doing, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just looking around at this crowd of people. And something about that just made me uncomfortable.
Wow, welcome to my life.
But I don't mean...
That's
every
day for me.
But I mean it in a literal sense, not in the know what you're doing. I mean, like, literally, they seem to be doing activities or know that they were shortly going to be doing other activities and stuff. Nobody seemed to be like, huh, what should I do here? Except me. Which is not remotely accurate. I'm sure there's tons of them, but that's just how it felt to me.
Yeah.
And so then I felt almost like I didn't belong in a weird way, but it's not because like I don't feel like I'm nerdy enough or whatever like that. It's just that I felt like everybody else like had a plan for their day, and I didn't, and that felt weird to me. And I was just in a mood. I've been in a mood lately. I'm becoming much more anti-humanity recently. I'm really. Not that I've been pro-humanity for a while, but humans are really starting to seem like assholes to me lately.
Is it the whole Trump thing? Or?
I don't think that helps. I don't know. Like, yeah, humans are just the fucking worst. By the way, all regular listeners of the Magical Talking Hat podcast are exempted from humanity. So you're welcome. Because I would not insult our listeners like that. Ezzy, however, if she pisses me off enough, I'm going to make her an honorary human. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Twiglet's got hyperthyroid.
Oh. Is that being treated? Or?
It's going to be. Oh, shit. We were supposed to pick it up today. We got a medication we have to give him daily.
No.
Which shouldn't be a complication, except when we travel. Because it used to be. Anything under 4 days, we just toss some food at him and leave. But now we're going to have to find somebody who can medicate him every day. While we're gone. And we were like, well, maybe, we, you know, if it's just a couple days, we can send him. But apparently, it's a medication that its efficacy is really the day you do it. So it's not like levels of it in his system or whatever. Seriously, what is going on here?
she's trying to in a very inconvenient place.
She's trying to chew on plastic wrap again. That's her jam. I thought I had more stuff to say.
To talk about your week?
Week's been busy. Work's been busy. I haven't had a whole lot to do lately, and that is changing really fast. I'm getting involved in a whole bunch of shit. Yeah, I got nothing.
Got nothing?
I think so. I'm trying to think of what other ridiculous movies I watched. I watched one movie. I still don't fully understand how this worked. Because I found out it actually had a Wikipedia page, and I looked it up, and they didn't mention this. So it's a movie. It was a terrible horror movie. And it was one of those where the writer and the director are the same guy. And by the way, he also stars in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was notable in that it was done in like 07. But it was meant to be an homage to the slasher movies of the 80s and the 90s. And in fact, it was specifically set in the mid-90s. Which was weird for a low-budget movie to be like, we're going to do a period piece of like 10 years earlier. And so they just kept being weird references and things to like sort of remind you it was odd. But yeah, the writer-director is in the movie. Really annoying. He gets these like Scrubs-esque scenes where like shit happens and then you find out it was just his daydream. But that's not the point of the movie. That's just a thing they do every once in a while for shits and giggles. But here's the thing. He gets killed, as most people in this movie do. And it's not an off-screen thing. Where, like, we're there. At one point, the camera is looking through his eyes as he is suffocating in, like, a plastic bag or whatever. He totally dies. Later, near the end of the movie, he's back. And I don't mean in a scene. I mean, like, the story goes back to being about him. And he's just alive. And
no explanation?
No. Not even... Yeah, nothing. Nothing. He was just there. I think he died again, maybe? I don't remember. I don't remember how the movie ended, because it wasn't that good. Which is also why I can't be bothered to remember the title. So, good times. Good times. This is some good radio here. Alright, should we have it?
Yeah, I guess so. Right. I was just trying to think of if there was anything else I wanted to talk about, but I can't think of anything. You know, I'm working on... I'm starting to write scripts for my bigger project. I never know how much I want to talk about it.
I've noticed that.
And it's not a big deal, really.
Where's Briar Rose?
It's coming along. We had to do some recasting, but we've gotten a lot of the...
had to do some recasting?
Mm-hmm.
Pourquoi?
But we've gotten a lot of recordings that we were waiting on in.
Did people opt out, or were there just issues with recordings?
We've had both happen.
Ooh.
But it's still...
You didn't recast the sausage, did you?
No. You would know if I did something like that. Everybody who was affected by anything we had to do knows.
If you haven't been told, don't worry, you're still in it. You'll still get a portion of the profits.
Yeah, the profits. No, it's moving along really well, slowly, because again, you know, this is all volunteer stuff. A lot is riding on my friend... Chris, who...
Those of you who are listening at home can't see. He gestured toward Ezzy when he said, my friend. I don't know what that's about. That's not your friend, Chris.
You know, and he's got a lot of other things going on. So, you know, whenever he has time, he works on a little bit. He'll send me an email asking me for some feedback on some things.
Is it Chris Pratt?
Chris Snook.
Is it Chris Sarandon?
No. And
Chris Christie?
But it's progress. Slow. Just like I keep telling
Chris
people, it's going to be
that wiggly kind of knife.
Don't you crush Twiggly. Are you just annoyed?
No. My cat is scared. You're going to crush him.
Well, maybe I did a little bit already. Sorry.
He has hyperthyroid. He is an old, sad, sick cat. What are you doing?
I didn't mean to crush him. I forgot he was back there.
Oh, kitten. Hi.
All right. So this is what I drew out of that.
What did you drew out of that?
I drew this out of the drew. Hat. May you consider asking ArtGirl 007 to be a guest on this show. What? We've had this question before,
we
right?
We super have. Not. I mean, I think it's a different one, but it's the same one.
You may call me at the number below. Do not announce on the air.
Legally, we have to say 555.
It's funny because the card does not have... I mean, the hat didn't put the number on the card, so either the...
The hat observes privacy requests,
I guess,
apparently.
So. I'm available right now. You won't regret it. But, okay, so...
How can she know she's available right now?
Well, that's true.
Is there some time travel going on?
Who knows when this was submitted. But, I think last time we talked about this, we presumed, probably rightly, that she was not going to travel here from wherever she's...
No. I mean, well, in there it says call on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? She gave us her number.
Okay, so...
For me to come clean here, people. I originally started this podcast in the hopes of getting girls' phone numbers, so it's finally been successful. This will be our last episode.
No,
thank you.
No. But
except that we don't have it.
Because
the
hat didn't put it on.
God damn it.
But again...
Seriously, I'm wasting so many years of my life on this.
So we're presuming, and I'm pretty sure we're right to presume this, that she intends to, like, call in or be Skyped in or something.
That sounds about right.
That's your guess, too? We've had guests on the show, we've done things like that, but everybody's
Remember,
here.
Don't put the microphone right in front of your face so you look like a terrible Asian stereotype. Put it on the side of your face so it looks like a cold sore.
Okay. So yeah, it's William not really an issue.
Didn't laugh either, so apparently that was a joke literally just for me.
It's not really an issue of wanting a person on the show or not wanting on the show. It's an issue of we do the show. We've just never had a guest on the show remotely like that, and I don't know why we would do that.
Because it would take effort to figure out how.
That's one thing. The technical difficulties could get in the way of the show.
Yes, and I should specify, mostly, I mean, producer notwithstanding, occasional get-togethers, that's fine. But mostly, here's the point of the show. Some people, I feel like it's like a recessive gene or a type of brain damage, I don't know, find dialogue betwixt myself and William over here to be oddly compelling.
As it was once described.
This podcast is for them. It doesn't work the same when you start adding in more people, because mostly those people just try and get us both to shut up. Historically speaking. Or, if we're both feeling our oats that day, they just can't get in a word in edgewise. And which point, why did you bother to have them here, you know? So, I feel like, I mean, I'm not going to say never.
Well, and we've done it before. We've even traveled to, like, you know, when Ezra Talon was in the hospital.
I still maintain, if you get cancer and come to the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics, we will go to your hospital room and record a podcast.
But I could see us if...
if you want.
I could see us if certain people were going to be in town, and they're going to be in town on Thursday.
I feel like we actually attempted that a couple times, and they weren't. It didn't work out.
You know, our 100th show, we had some people.
Because Sarah was the only person that could integrate herself into our conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get a triad of me, William, and Sarah. Not a Sarah. Very few will know who she is. She used to live here, and then she moved away. But yeah, she... Because this all comes out of an old monthly gathering called Gaia's Feast that William and I would not shut up at. and it annoyed a lot of people, and other people just found it oddly compelling. But Sarah was the third part of it. Like, she would get in there, and so it would be the three of us talking over everyone else and not letting anyone else say anything, and people finding it oddly compelling. So, I mean, it's a possibility, but we're not calling you right now. Also, well, I don't believe that you're necessarily available right now.
Well, the point...
We don't have your number.
Well, yeah.
We totally should have been like, we would tell you. We would call you right now, but the hat didn't print your number, so we can't.
I think it's safe to say that we're never probably going to have a guest on the show by way of technology.
I think it could happen.
I can think of a lot of reasons like I said, if we had...
We'll probably make a movie about the podcast first, but it could happen.
I can imagine as certain listeners, if they're going to be in town for some reason and it would be on a Thursday, we'd think, oh, this would be awesome. If we set something up, we could all...
We're not going to rule it out.
But as far as having a person call in or Skype in or something, I just don't see us doing that.
I will say, if you do want to make such requests, writing the hat is not a useful way to do it, because who knows how long ago she wrote this.
That's right.
You know?
It could take forever.
Although, to be fair, is it signed by her? Maybe it's somebody else suggesting
It could be.
That'd be creepy.
It's not signed by anyone.
That'd be weird. What did I just think of that I was going to tell you while you were talking about something? Not through technology. Oh, movie. That was one of them. A couple of people apparently recently revisited our YouTube videos.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were some new comments.
Comments?
Yeah, that came through. Just like from Jazz and Azure Talon, which I'm like, oh, that's odd. So they were reminiscing on that. If for some reason you're fairly new to this and haven't ever checked out, we do have some really terrible videos on YouTube.
I feel really bad about that. I should have either had lighting there, or when I saw that it was going to be crappy, I should have just said, well, let's not do it. I just keep thinking people won't mind so much. But
they don't appear to have. I mean, nobody's been honest about it. We just beat ourselves up over it. But it is essentially a visual version of what we do here in shorter bursts.
And so, edited.
It is edited. So check that shit out if you haven't. And if you have, go back and remember it fondly.
I think the
you actually get to see pretty good. The I wish hat, I looked sort of.
Because I think people do want to see what we look like and see our expressions and stuff. And it's not
my brother-in-law was really happy to finally see you, but I think that was the photos when we were in the paper about the 100th. Because he's like, when I hear you guys, I know what Tony looks like. I have no idea what William looks like. So like now I've got a face to put with it. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, did he make any comment about? Because surely he had some kind of mental image. Did I match? Or?
I believe you did not at all. He did not go into detail, but which I mean, it makes sense. I feel like the odds are in favor that one wouldn't match one's voice.
I think so too.
But I don't know. I have definitely seen people in my life that I'm like, they look exactly like I thought they would look.
Really?
Yeah. It happens.
I don't think I'm any good at all at figuring out what a person looks like based on their voice. Not at all. I
don't know. I might be imagining it.
Pretty much every time I've seen someone after hearing their voice for a long time, they don't look. I didn't even think I was imagining it, what they look like, but I must have, because when I see them, I'm really surprised.
Yeah, expectations. Yeah.
Yep. Every single time. I am absolutely horrible at it. But okay. I sometimes am curious as what people think I look like based on my voice, because
I've always imagined you as a short black lady. Not African, like black, like your skin has some sort of condition. You sound like something is making your skin black, is what I'm saying.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
You think? I don't know. It's just give me the thing. I'll draw a thing.
The thing is,
we need more things, though, people. Write in, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
I don't think I have a very good voice to listen to. So I tend to think people are going to think that whatever picture they have of me, it's not going to be an attractive person. Because my voice.
Yeah, so he might look like you think.
Yeah, exactly.
Just handed it there.
That's exactly right.
All right.
So I expect people are going to say, wow, he's unattractive, but not quite the unattractive that I was thinking. A whole different kind.
More teeth than I was thinking. Right. I mean, I expected some teeth. But
I thought a little nose, not a huge nose.
Fewer teeth. This is another anonymous one. What websites do you find yourself constantly checking?
Constantly checking?
This is an easy one for me. Because I have a set routine in the morning.
Okay.
first of all, I go across the bookmark bar at the top on my browser, where most of them are. Some of them are not there. I can't explain to you what my logic is, but this is how it goes. So in the bookmark bar, I open the thing. The Weight Watchers is the first thing. If I have some shit to record, which often I do in the morning because I just came back from the gym and stuff like that, I record that, move on. Next thing, my personal email address. I check it. Next thing, my more public spam-catching email address. I check it. Next thing, another address that I have for people, online friends that I want to keep as online friends and not associated with my real life. Check that email. Then I check the hat blog. That's the fourth thing. All of these are in the bookmark bar. That's the fourth thing. And I usually check it, see if there's any new comments, but also to check the traffic. I do that. Then I go to Twitter. Check that. Then I go to Facebook. Check for messages, basically, there. And that's the end of what's on the bookmark bar. But the cycle is not complete. Then I pull up, by hand typing it, our bank's website. And I check our money. Mm. That it's still there. That kind of thing. And, you know, if there's shit to do, I move stuff around or whatever. Then, again hand typing, I check the Weather Channel website. And I check what the weather's going to be. Today, in the next few days, that kind of thing. Then, usually I go to YouTube, and if there's any new Cracked videos, I watch those. If there's any new Just Between Us videos, I watch those, because I am caught up on that.
Mm.
And then if I'm in the mood or whatever, I might mess with it. It depends. Then it sort of depends on how much time I have left, if I feel like playing Fallout that morning, that kind of thing after that. So that is my morning routine. Outside of that, most of the websites that I am like regularly on and checking and stuff, all porn. But like specific porn sites that I like, so.
I check the hat several times a day.
Several times, goodness.
Yep. Just because, I don't know, I'm there, so I check.
Mm-hmm.
My own email. And YouTube. Now, between my email and YouTube, and I'm subscribed to several news channels, and I've subscribed to a lot of email mailing lists about causes that I'm interested in, like, you know, net neutrality and local food and all that stuff.
Cage fighting.
And I get emails about my representatives and what they're voting on and things like that. So between the news stuff in YouTube and the emails that I'm getting from organizations, that pretty much makes up my news consumption in the morning. And can take me to several other sites, you know, to read articles from other things,
yeah.
or to check on a news article that I've just written, or maybe I'm going to put a comment in on a YouTube video about a particular news item that I think they got wrong or whatever. Wikipedia, I check quite a bit.
I spend a lot of time on Wikipedia.
As a first source for things, if I think that, well, surely whatever Wiki says about this is going to be more or less accurate. Like,
yeah.
What were the dates of the this war? You know,
what was the origin of this comic book character?
Stuff like that. You know,
yeah, really I spend a lot of time
really
on Wikipedia.
Basic stuff. If it's more involved than that, if I think that
if it turned out not to be true, would this have an impact?
Exactly.
But nowadays, I will go so far as to. I just literally look up the citations and go to those.
Yeah.
And that works often very well.
That's usually the first step, and then you can go from there. That's mm-hmm. the great thing about Wiki is that it's always a good place to start. And for things that you're pretty sure that it must have gotten right, or like you said, the consequences of it being wrong aren't really that important,
yeah.
It doesn't really matter. But being that that's sort of the first step in online research, usually that means I go there more than those other places that yeah. I end up going.
I should actually, there's another place, Amazon. I spend a lot of time on Amazon. Mm. Buying stuff, watching movies, rating movies, stuff like looking for new stuff. I spend a lot of time on there. But it's not part of my routine, I just do.
Yeah, most of my online activity is I'm looking for news kind of things, or information. I do use, I do go online for research for my work. I mean, this big project I'm working on is an alternate reality, you know, so sometimes I have to reconstruct things that happened historically, and I have to know, okay, is this historical event something I'm going to include in my alternate reality yeah. or not? And
just continuity.
And if I don't have it, what happened instead?
Yeah.
And why
yeah.
did it happen, and does that make sense? So a lot of times, Wiki's just perfectly fine to, wait, let me see who was involved in this, and I'll get a name, and maybe I'll look at the Wikipedia article for them, and then I'll do more in-depth research on them and other sources. That person, like, is this person going to be alive in my alternate reality? And what are they going to do if they are? And so on and so forth. So, but mostly, if I'm not getting heavy into certain research aspects of my projects, it's really just news that I'm getting from email and YouTube, and then I use that to look at other. The New York, the Washington Post, the New York Times, I mean, CNN, whatever, wherever the news, it's kind of like, you know, you always talk about the rabbit hole that you go into Wikipedia. Well, news is the same way. Once you start reading articles about something, you can go to this link, to that link, and then you can decide, well, I'm going to, you know, do a Yahoo or a Google search and see what articles I get from that. And then you read those articles. And
that's
you have
why
to,
I never start. News is a gateway drug.
Well, I mean, if you're going to get the full story, you really can't just read one source because, well, there's just all kinds of obvious reasons. And a lot of times, sometimes I don't care. I mean, sometimes a news article is whatever I'm seeing in the email or on the brief YouTube thing, I feel like I've got enough information.
So-and-so died.
Yeah.
You know.
But there are other things that, okay, I feel like I'm not getting all the information here, and you really have to dig. I mean, this happens a lot in election coverage, actually.
Oh, my God. Normally, I don't pay attention to news. I actively avoid most election coverage at this point.
Because there's just a lot of coverage, you know, a lot of things that are said in election coverage, you have to think. And it's not just what candidates are saying, although that's one thing.
Mm-mm.
And yet, these days, you can't even just go to one fact-checking website to check things either. You've got to go to two or three. Mm. But it's also what, and it's not just what pundits say either. It's also what actual news people say. You know, things they'll say that you kind of stop and think, well, that doesn't sound quite right. And you do a little research, or you go to the original source, like they'll be talking about some poll said this, or some research center said this.
And you're like, holy shit, a talking poll.
And then you go to the source and you realize, okay, it didn't really say that. I mean, this news organization, or whoever it was, spun this in a way that would make it clickbait, basically.
Yes. I also spend a lot of time on Cracked, because it amuses me. And because they do things like, they have an article all about the big stories this last week that aren't actually what everybody thought they were. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, so, you know. But I've talked about this before. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous in the United States now. If you want to be well-informed, how much work you have to do.
Yeah. And that's why I choose not to. We are out of time.
Oh, okay. All right.
So remember, people, if you see a talking poll, say something. I think this episode is going to have to be called The Talking Poll, just because I'm not confident that we haven't named a different episode Strangely Compelling. So, tell us about the sound volume. That seemed redundant or just stupid. I don't know. Anyway, tell us how it sounds. Like us on Facebook, because what else have you got going on? And listen next week, because otherwise I'll just have to lump you in with the rest of humanity. And nobody wants that.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com.